Shout out to the podcast listeners. Sorry that your show is just now beginning. You missed a great first segment. A fantastic first segment. Probably the best segment we've ever done. Hate that you had to miss it and then it's lost forever, but listen live. And it's my fault. Actually, it's Parker's fault for not showing up, but then I took the responsibility and then I didn't start it, so it's both of our faults. I'm not taking all the blame. I'll take 50% of it.
Basically, the only thing you missed is that these scooters are coming to town today.
The scooters are coming.
They're on their way.
The scooters are coming.
They're all on the interstate right now, together, unanimously making their way here.
Run for your life. Over-under is 2.5 weeks before we get our first our news update that someone's been struck. Because they don't make you wear a helmet. Buckethead says he tried one in Nashville for the first time. So that was a lot of fun.
They look fun. But I don't know. I would be rattled.
Looking ahead to Tennessee's run to the tournament, I put up a poll question on Fox Sports Knoxville in honor of Hops and Hollers. Our Hops and Hollers question is, what's your biggest area of concern for Tennessee as you head to the tournament? I went with coaching. Rick Barnes' record in the tournament, obviously you've heard about it a lot. He hasn't had a lot of postseason success. Just in the last decade. Not a lot. I believe he's got 4 tournament wins, if I'm not mistaken, since 2009.
In the last decade.
I believe he has 4 tournament wins in the last decade.
Not very good.
No.
Now, you know, a couple of those years were spent rebuilding Tennessee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some of them were still at Texas, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 of them were spent rebuilding Tennessee. So, yeah, they're a wash. And obviously last year, you know, you were 1-1 in the tournament.
Yeah. He made the Elite Eight in 2007-08, and his last 7 years at Texas, he didn't get out of the second round.
Right. So, I mean, that's part of the reason Texas ran him. And that's, you know, a lot of Tennessee fans are still a little concerned, wait-and-see type of thing. Like, hey, you need to prove it. And I know coming off of the SEC championship on Sunday, you're not necessarily screaming confidence at what happens in a tournament setting. So that's one of the options. Another option would be Tennessee's 3-point defense. Another game. You know, that's been a story kind of all year, was Tennessee leaving some shooters open, teams shooting good against Tennessee from 3. You know, for a stretch right there in late February, early March, Tennessee really started playing good defense. I think they played good defense for the most part of the SEC tournament until Sunday. And then Sunday just gave up open 3 after open 3. I believe the stat that Will Warren gave me per synergy was in the SEC championship game, I think, I'll see if I can go back and find it. The stat he gave me was Tennessee contested the very first 3-point attempt from Auburn and then gave up 11 wide open. They guarded the first 2 threes. So the first 2 3-point attempts in the SEC championship, Tennessee guarded. And then Auburn had 11 in a row just wide open.
So why are we not guarding the 3?
Well, I mean, I think that goes with the lineups.
Do we not have?
We don't have enough people. It's why I came out of that game thinking we're a man short, because when Kyle Alexander or Fulkerson or Walker's on the court, if you're playing against a team that wants to space you out, put you in pick and roll, pick and pop situations, you're going to be able to manipulate Tennessee's defense to create open looks.
Well, if we're in that situation against a team that takes a lot of threes, should we not just go with a smaller lineup?
Well, we can, but then you saw what Auburn did. Auburn beat your ass on the offensive boards. Like, they had 13 offensive rebounds. Like,
well, in that situation, I feel like Grant and Admiral got to step up, you know?
Well, Grant and Admiral's been good in that situation so far this year. Like, their net rating when they're the 2 biggest guys on the court, right? When Tennessee's going with them as the biggest guys on the court, that means Tennessee's going small. Usually that means there's the Bowden, Bone, Turner threesome with them. And, you know, so far this year, Tennessee's played 254 possessions with Admiral and Grant as the big men. And they have a net rating positive of 22. That's really good. But on Sunday, a team like Auburn punished you when you were out there. Like, Okiki couldn't, you know, was dominating Grant.
I think you got to take your chances on the offensive boards and not getting them and giving them second chance looks to at least guard the looks. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a double-edged sword, but you got to at least guard the three. You can't just leave them with open shots.
Yeah.
Because Alexander, if he's in the game, he may not get the rebound anyway.
Auburn is a gimmicky team. We've kind of talked about that. There's not many teams in the country who can do what Auburn did.
And in the first half, they weren't hitting as many of
them. Well, that's the thing. As I said that the first two were guarded, right? And then the next 11 were wide open. So out of your 13 threes, 11 were wide open. Auburn shot 7 more the rest of the half. They shot 20 threes, and yeah, they only hit 5 of them. So you were somehow only down 9 while you weren't playing well because Auburn wasn't hitting shots. And then, yeah, the second half they came out and started hitting, and then you got blown out.
Yet you were still down 9.
Yeah.
That's the concerning thing.
Well, I mean, it was glass half full, glass half empty, kind of, because Tennessee played awful in the first half offensively. But at the same time, they were not playing very good defensively either. Auburn was just missing shots. So when Tennessee was only down 9 at half, I kind of looked at that as, okay, that's I'll take that, I guess. Although, like you said, Cody, to still be down 9 when Auburn went 5 of 20 was probably a red flag, and then they came out the second half and opened the half 9 of 15 and busted your ass.
Yeah, well, I think the poll makes sense. You know, you got to either – you got to shoot and you got to guard shots. And that's the simple truth of it. You got to hit shots and you got to make the other team miss shots.
Three-point defense, shooting, Barnes in tournament. Other is also an option. Barnes tweets in running into Cinderella again. You did run into Cinderella last year. You ran into Loyola, who – went on to go to the Final Four, who was everyone's darling.
Ran into the Snow White Witch is who we ran into.
That was tough to watch. And he got worse every game they won and every time a story ran of their coverage. Like that one was pretty sick. They lost in the NIT last night, by the way.
Her and her damn poisonous apple.
865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. What's your biggest area of concern for Tennessee as they head in the tournament? Three-point defense, shooting, Barnes' track record in the tournament, or other? I think the shooting, Tennessee needs to keep that floor stretched. Tennessee can't really afford cold shooting nights. Really, I mean, maybe if I could replace one of these, maybe I would put foul trouble on there because I am terrified of foul trouble. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. People, I forgot to start it again.
So I got a dilemma.
You haven't missed much, just that we rehashed the poll question and then found out that a once friend of mine, someone who I considered a mentoree. What do you call it? Is it a mentoree? Like I was his mentor?
Mentee.
A mentee?
You're yes. A prodigy.
Prodigy.
Yeah.
Prodigy feels good. Someone I once considered a prodigy has forsaken me and turned his back on me and did not invite me to his pool bracket, but he invited Cody, which is understandable. Cody and Nathan are friends, and somehow Ben Lee got in there. Are you and Nathan friends? Like, did I miss something here? Like, how did you move ahead of me on his Fox Sports Knoxville top 8 list?
Not really sure. You know, like, we hung out at the tournament remotes last year.
Okay.
And he came over with Cody a couple times before he went out.
Is it for money?
No.
Or just fun?
Just fun.
That's
probably why. He knows I wouldn't do it for just fun. That's probably it.
Well, I just went in. I legitimately did it in 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. He probably didn't want to ask me because he'd be like, he knew I would say no.
You wouldn't join a group just for fun?
I would, probably.
Depending on whose group.
I would get in y'all's, but yeah, it would be I don't like filling out brackets anyways, but when it comes to the fun pools, I don't like doing those either. It's like you ever played fantasy football in a free league? Like,
yeah.
No one takes it seriously. It's very frustrating.
We played for money in my league this year and nobody paid the money. So
who won? Did you win?
No, I want to say.
Well, if you didn't win, who cares?
Seth Norris won.
Well, if you didn't win, who cares?
I can't remember who won.
That's how it happened to me at the station, I think, 2 years ago. Bear put a pool together and was wanting everybody to compete. I can't remember if it was fantasy football or the bracket, one of the two. Whatever it was I won, I didn't get paid on.
I thought Bear ended up collecting for everyone, for you.
No, he collected for Houston and then didn't do me the same honor.
Oh, well.
There was I won one thing, Houston won one thing. Houston got paid. I did not from Bear.
That's tough.
Yeah, so I have a strict policy of no free or ambiguous buy-ins. Got to have the money up front if we're going to do something.
That's really the only way to do it.
But I got the podcast rolling now. Sorry, sorry guys. Listen live if you can. If you can't, I understand. Sorry. Doing the best I can.
We're sorry.
So you vote for shooting?
Yes. And by shooting, I mean Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden.
Really comes down to those two, right? In your opinion, like, I mean, I do think that Admiral could either alleviate some of that pressure or add to it, right? Like, if all three of those guys are cold from three, it's going to be a scary game. If Lamonte and Bowden are cold and Admiral's hot, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, we can't just have those guys disappear, you know, but we need the guys who normally don't hit shots to hit shots.
Because I don't feel like...
Although Lamonte ended up scoring 22 against Auburn, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like either of those guys shot great from three. I mean, Bowden hit two threes against Kentucky. He was 2 for 3. Lamonte was 1 for 4, including, you know, the dagger. So three for seven. Yeah, I mean, that's a good percentage. That's only three makes. Whereas Admiral was 4 for 8. And, you know, his shooting, like I said, kind of took the pressure off of them. Foul trouble, I think, would be my vote. Other. I think Tennessee's in a good spot right now in terms of their draw, for the most part. I don't know how I feel about Rick Barnes' coaching in the tournament. Like, there are different feelings about this, right? Like, it's the total drought, like we talked about, what, 4 tournament wins since 2009? There's some things in there that point to, well, okay, yeah, maybe sometimes they go one and done. Then there's another stat that talks about whenever he has been the head coach of a top-ranked seed, like when he's been a number one or number two seed, he goes on good deep runs. Like he hasn't been upset as a one or two seed, or at least he has made it to where he's supposed to make it. As a one seed, made the Final Four. The two times he was a two seed, made the Elite Eight. Does that make you feel better at all, or is that just kind of, eh, last year you were a three seed and got bounced by Loyola? Because I remember getting into arguments last year. I believe it was with Will Warren, who was like, eh, that stuff's overblown. He actually performs well for a seed, blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, bounced by Loyola. And Will's like, you know what, you're kind of right.
Well, that it makes me feel a little better to hear the numbers put out that way. I mean, other than Loyola, it was good up until that point, right? When he's got a good team, he makes a postseason run.
Well, like I said, in this stat, we're specifying one or two seed. Obviously, last year you were a three seed.
And how many times has he been a one or two seed?
Three times. Is that surprising?
And that
seems like a low number. 23 times you made the tournament and you're only a one or two seed three times? Is that low or no?
I don't know. And that's
I mean, I know some of those were, you know, Providence and Clemson, and you're not going to get one or two seeds with Providence or Clemson. So maybe that skews it a little bit. And it's 16 times with Texas, three times. I guess that's what, almost 20%, 18%, something like that.
We were a two seed twice under Pearl, right?
I believe so.
The first tournament year and the Lofton year, or the 31-5 year.
I believe so.
Yeah. So that's twice in 6 years. But anyway, so here's what I'm thinking. Two Elite Eights and a Final Four in those three is what you're saying?
Yeah, whenever Barnes has been ranked as a one or two seed.
I think that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, it'd be really sad if I told you he was a one or two seed and he didn't make the Final Four of the Elite Eight. That would be a bad thing.
Well, it means that the road is a little bit easier for good teams, you know?
Sure.
And
I mean, that's what you play the whole season for, is to get that high seed.
To get the high seed.
Yeah, I mean, ideally the route is easier for the ones and twos.
Your second round matchup is going to be...
You don't hear of very many 15s beating twos, and of course... Last year was the first time ever a one seed had lost to a 16 seed. So, for the most part, you pencil yourself in around one victory. Whereas, if you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and on, you know, and on, you are somewhat in a battle.
And at least in the second round, the highest seed you can play is a 7.
Yeah.
And it may very well be a 10. So, that should be a comfortable game. I'd say most two seeds should have a comfortable ride to the Sweet 16. Now, the upsets happen.
Sure.
You know, but really the Sweet 16 is where it gets dicey, or where it should get dicey if you're an elite team. You shouldn't face much adversity if you're elite until the Sweet 16.
So does that make you feel better about Barnes's track record? Because, you know, you look at the overall numbers, I believe he's 22-23 in his entire tournament history. 22-23. Made the tournament 23 times. Obviously hasn't won a championship, so he's had, you know, one L every year.
He's basically even. And if he won two this year and then lost in the Sweet 16, he would be even.
He is 10-3 as a 1-2 seed.
Yeah.
So I mean that's pretty good, which means he's 12-20.
He also had Kevin Durant for two of those, or for one of those, right?
Kevin Durant wasn't a one or two seed. Kevin Durant, they lost in the second round.
Did they really?
They might have made the Sweet 16, but they did not make the Elite Eight. I want to say they lost in the second round.
That would have been 05-06, right?
Yeah. I want to say that they lost in the second round. They might have made the Sweet 16.
05-06, they made the Elite Eight. So unless it was Durant not on that team?
Kevin Durant was drafted in 07, wasn't he? He was on 06-07.
Okay. Then, yeah, that was
the
second
round. He was the number two pick in the 07 draft. It was the year Greg Oden.
Then that would have been second round. So Barnes doesn't need elite talent to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, they got blown out. They got blown out in the second round when they had Kevin Durant.
Well, that's a good stat for this team.
I want to say that was Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine, right? Didn't they have Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine? And they lost 68-87 to Southern California.
Well, luckily, we don't have Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Well, look, there is something to say about that, too. There are some stats that maybe you're building the team the right way. Like, if you are looking at teams that should make runs, you've probably noticed a lot of quote-unquote experts feel pretty good about Tennessee's chances. A lot of people have picked them to the Final Four. I want to say out of the I think there was 20 athletic writers. Not like writers who are athletes, but The Athletic.
Right.
They had 20 writers. I don't know if those guys are athletic or not.
They're not.
They had 20 writers, and I want to say like 13 picked Tennessee to go to the Final Four. There are some things that point to something that should be a success for this basketball team. We'll talk about that. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. You're looking at, you pointed out Barnes and Kevin Durant, and, well, yeah, a second round upset. You start looking at, who the most talented players are in the tournament. We gave you, Sports Illustrated yesterday? Well, today, ESPN Plus, I pay for ESPN Plus for some reason, they released their top 25 players in the NCAA tournament. I know you haven't cheated to see this one.
Because I don't subscribe.
But they're going more with the, I don't want to say more of the one and done, But the top two players are the best two NBA prospects, or at least two of the best three NBA prospects. You know, Zion and John Morant,
right,
from Murray State. Those are the two best players in the tournament according to them.
You know what's cool about Tennessee being good at college basketball now is we can name a lot more of these players than we could a year ago.
That's true. Last year we were okay because, you know, we cared about Tennessee basketball last year. But if you'd asked me 2 years ago, it would not have been pretty.
We know more of these players now.
Brandon Clark at number three, which you must not have watched the Gonzaga-Tennessee game. I feel like Tennessee's front line dominated Gonzaga's front line.
And he's got him over instead of Rui Hachimura?
Yeah, Brandon Clark. I mean, Brandon Clark is a lottery pick as well. Gonzaga has two of them.
Now, Rui Hachimura's got to be top 10, right? Somewhere in there.
I haven't scrolled that far yet. Cassius Winston.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hunter.
Well, Cassius Winston comes in at number four, and then Grant Williams comes in at number five.
Grant's number five. Is Grant the only one we've got in the top 25?
I've scrolled all the way through. Yeah. I'm just kind of,
just kind of working through it, huh?
Not to see this glass as half empty, but this might be statistically the best offense Rick Barnes will ever have at Tennessee. It's been that good, and Williams is the engine of the volunteer attack. He is an artist in residence at the line, drawing 7 fouls per 40 minutes and hitting 82% of his free throws. If there's an underappreciated aspect to Williams' games, it's that for significant stretches of minutes, he's the tallest of all on the floor when Kyle Alexander sits. His ability to more than hold his own in the paint and on defense has been a nice bonus for Barnes' team. He says he's the fifth best player in the tournament. Rui Hachimura comes in at number 11. So Gonzaga has two of the top 11 as far as they're concerned.
Okay.
Admiral was number 15 on Sports Illustrated's list. He does not make the top 25 of ESPN Plus.
Damn it.
Time to cancel ESPN Plus.
I was going to see if I could guess the top 25.
Wasn't DeAndre Hunter? Where was he at on Sports Illustrated? He was like number like four, right? Or like number, he was in the top five, right? Number six, maybe?
He was up there.
He's all the way at number 17 down here. So there's a little bit of a disagreement on where these players are coming in ranked. Like, who are the best players in the tournament? Grant Admiral have that opportunity to show that either, Sports Illustrated was right or prove ESPN wrong by performing. When you look at last year's tournament and you're talking about the Zion Williamsons, although Zion's a little bit different because he has two other stud freshmen with him, but someone like John Morant, who you're talking about, right? And, you wanted to, you're taking them to beat Marquette.
He's good for one game. They'll beat Marquette.
Last year that wasn't the case. If you look at, the top-ranked freshmen, the one-and-done guys, DeAndre Ayton, they went home round one. Michael Porter Jr., they went home round one. Mo Bamba, they went home round one.
Colin Sexton
went home round one. Jaren Jackson Jr. went home. I believe he won one game and then lost a second. They went home first weekend. Trae Young, home first game. The one and dones haven't really fared well in the tournament.
Now, could Trae Young and Colin Sexton both have been gone after one game? Didn't they play?
If they played, then none of those guys made it out of the first weekend. I don't think they played. They played in the regular season. Did they have a rematch in the tournament? Maybe. If they had, Colin went out in the first weekend. Maybe Colin Sexton and Alabama won one game.
I thought for some reason they played again. Could be completely wrong about that.
You might be right. They didn't. None of those guys made it out of the first weekend, though. None of them made it to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
So all of those big draft picks, none of them went on a deep run.
Were any of those guys mid-major guys?
Colin Sexton won his game, but it was against Va Tech. And then they lost to Villanova.
Okay.
They won 86-83. Sexton dropped 25 points and 6 assists.
Who did Oklahoma play? They played somebody and people thought they were going to lose. Was it Rhode Island?
Yeah.
It was Rhode Island.
It was Rhode Island, yeah, because we were watching it at Elkmont. And it was,
It was a good game. Yeah.
And then Rhode Island won in overtime, I believe.
Yeah. I picked Rhode Island. It was a big moment for me.
I believed in Trae Young, and he let me down. But it's okay.
All of those guys played for big schools too, right?
All those guys, let's see, Ayton, Arizona, Porter Jr., Missouri, Bamba, Texas, Trey, Oklahoma. Lonnie Walker wasn't a lottery pick, but he was like a top 20 pick to the Spurs. He played with Miami. They lost game one. Colin Sexton, Alabama, Jaren Jackson Jr., Michigan State. So, yeah.
I feel like it's a little more special, even if you're a one-and-done when you're at a small school.
Well, I don't think there are very many one-and-dones at small schools. That's
I know. So why is this – I mean, why is this Ja Morant guy at Murray State? Like, how has he gotten so good?
I don't even know if Ja Morant – is Ja Morant a –
I don't know. He could be an upperclassman.
No, he's not an upperclassman.
He could be, I don't know, sophomore.
I wasn't sure if he's a freshman or sophomore.
Well, why is he at Murray State? It makes no sense that he's –
He claims that no one he's a sophomore. He claims that no one offered him, which isn't all the way true. Morant's not the one and done, but he's more of the superstar kind of guy. Maybe he doesn't even fit what we're talking about in terms of with these guys who can't lead their team or who get to the tournament and when the pressure gets ramped up, things go south.
And he's in year two of being a leader.
Yeah, so maybe Murray State doesn't fit that criteria.
I got Murray State winning one game.
Okay, then that's fine.
One game. Because then they'll have to play somebody really good.
So who are the other one-and-dones in this class? Like, who are – because, I mean, obviously Morant's not a one-and-done, and Zion is, but Zion's with – you know, usually there's exceptions if you have three or four of them, right? Because Kentucky always makes deep tournament runs because, you know, the idea is kind of having to start over. Trying to insert a freshman into a big into a team and then them not being tested together.
The other one and duns would be RJ Barrett.
Sure. I mean that Duke kind of the same thing.
Kobe White at North Carolina. Keldon Johnson at Kentucky. I guess Cam Reddish.
Yeah, maybe are there not very many one and duns this year?
This still has – I'm just looking at a mock draft. They still have Cam Reddish as a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean –
Hasn't he been awful?
People say the Hawks are in love with him at number 5. And if they don't take him at number 5, they'll take him at number 6 or 7, wherever that Mavericks pick comes in.
I guess UNC's got a couple one and duns, Nasir Little and Kobe White.
Yeah.
Romeo Langford, Indiana's not even in.
Yeah, Indiana's not even in the tournament. So I don't know how many teams kind of fit this criteria of trying to be led by one and duns.
It's only Duke and UNC, basically. I mean, Kentucky's got one, Keldon Johnson.
Yeah.
And
maybe Hero. He's projected to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, he's
I don't know if he'll leave or if he'll stay or what, but
this guy, Ashton Hagans at 30. USC, yeah, a lot of these are not even tournament teams.
We'll see if Duke can add their name to, you know, 2015. Was it 2015 Duke and 2012 Kentucky?
Bol Bol. He's not even playing, though.
Yeah.
Bol Bol
dropped all the way down to – he went from a top 10 pick to, you know, second round, early first – or late first round.
Yeah, they got him at 18 to the Celtics here.
I think he was on 30th on one I saw earlier.
I really wish we could see Bol Bol in the tournament. I like that Oregon team. I know I mentioned that. I know you don't care, but I like them. If only they had Bol Bol. Dana Altman's good in the postseason.
I mean, he was with Dorsey and Brooks.
Yeah, but they managed to win 8 straight out of nowhere and win the Pac-12 tournament. They're one of those teams that got hot.
Have they cooled off over the last 4 or 5 days? That'll be the question.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.